Praise God. Praise God. Open your Bibles, please, and find Psalms 119. Psalms 119. Amen. Psalms 119, starting in verse 33. I want to preach tonight just a little bit on, or try to teach just a little bit on the portraits of a man of God. Now, I'm going to use that generically if I can, not when just a man of God, but a woman of God as well, a child of God, if you will. We could have put that, but just want to use a portrait of a man of God. It's understood probably that David wrote this entire psalm, Psalm 119. So we're going to deal with portraits of a man of God, of one who is following after God's own heart. Amen. How many of you understand tonight that you are supposed to follow after God's own heart, that we should all be a man after God's own heart or a woman after God's own heart, and that we should wholly follow the Lord in everything that we do? Look at verse 33, if you will. If you have it, can you say amen? The Word says, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of Thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep Thy law. I shall observe it with my what? My whole heart. Make me to go in the path of Thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto Thy testimonies, and not unto covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken Thou me in Thy way. Establish Thy word unto Thy servant, who is devoted to Thy fear. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for Thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed for Thy precepts. Quicken me in Thy righteousness." Every single verse in that passage deals with, and I'm going to deal with four pictures of a man or a woman of God, and every verse deals with how we are to live as Christians. We'll dive into a little bit of sanctification and holy living and all of that kind of good stuff, but that's what it is. That's what we're supposed to be. If we're going to be called Christians, we need to be followers of Christ. If we're going to be called Christians, we need to follow after Him with our whole heart and our whole understanding. Heavenly Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that You will just touch Almighty God. I pray that You will move in a mighty way in this teaching, O God, tonight. I pray, yes, God, I pray for the anointing of the Holy Ghost upon the teaching of the Word of God. I pray, God, that You will minister in a mighty way, that we will gain understanding and wisdom from Your Word tonight, God. We give You the glory and the honor and the praise. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and the house said, amen. Don't you love the color? Amen, amen. Praise God. Portraits of a man of God. There are four portraits I want to deal with of a man of God. The first portrait is found in the first two verses. A sojourner, if you will, or a traveler, if you will. He says, "To teach me, O Lord, in Thy way of Thy statutes, and I shall keep them unto the end." We find that here's a picture of a sojourner, a traveler, just an old hobo, if you will, traveling and sojourning. How many of you understand tonight that this world is not your home? This world is not your home. You're just like this traveler tonight. You're just passing through. And this world is not my home. The things of this world, I don't possess. I don't own them. God has given me dominion over them, but I don't possess them or own them. They're just borrowed from God. Everything we have tonight is from God. I'm simply a traveler. This is why the Bible talks about he that warreth doesn't get entangled with the things of this world, because we're just passing through. The stuff isn't ours. I know you've got a pretty boat or a nice house or whatever, but it's not yours. It doesn't belong to you. It belongs to God. Everything belongs to God tonight. Hallelujah. To be a, what does it mean to be a sojourner? It means to be a faithful follower. Somebody who follows wholeheartedly after God. That's what the psalmist said. He said, if you will teach me, O Lord, thy way and of thy statutes, then I will what? Keep them to the end. Yes, it is possible to follow faithfully after God and not fall by the wayside, but yet you can keep it unto the end and go completely all the way through until you step over to the other side. Amen. Does anybody agree with me tonight that we can follow wholeheartedly after God and faithfully after God and trust in God as our Savior and as our Lord and completely faithful follow Him unto the end? Watch this, because here's the word statutes. Here is the word statutes. He says, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes. To engrave, that's that word in the Hebrew, meaning to engrave or to have an ordinance or a limit. Like for some that don't know, when you go through Moorhead, there's a speed limit sign that says 20. And you're supposed to slow down and go 20. That's a statute. It's an ordinance. It's a law. It's something that you should abide by, that you should follow after. And I'm not going to call anybody's name or pick on anybody, but they know who they are. And I'll pick on my wife because she does it all the time. She's got to at least bump it up to 20. In fact, we have challenges sometimes. You ever seen those little speed signs? The speed signs. Now, I like to get up to them and get one under it. You know, if it's 35, I'll go 34. And the little sign there says it's 34. Now, Kim, on the other hand, if it's 35, she'll go 36. It's a statute or an ordinance. Can I put it this way? It's a direction. The problem is, especially as men, since we're on Portraits of a Man of God, the problem is that men don't bother to ask for directions. We'll drive for miles and miles and miles. Come on, somebody. And the wife is, I can't use the word nagging, can I? The wife is saying over and over again, why don't you stop somewhere and ask for directions? And we're saying, no, I can find it my way. I can do it my own self. I can follow and find this thing my own way. And we get lost. We get lost. Watch this. But there are some of us that we will actually, after constant hours of nagging from our wife, and we actually stop and ask for directions. And when we ask for directions, they're saying, go left here and right here and turn here and turn here. Now, do we write it down? No. We say, okay, I got it right here. We ain't got nothing there any more than anything else. We don't write it down. And so what do? We drive for another 5 hours. Some of y'all have been there. Don't ask for directions if you don't intend to follow them. Can I tell you tonight that this is a book of directions? It's not just a book of rules and regulations, but it's a book of directions. Don't ask God to help me and find your way and find direction for my life when you don't intend to follow it. It's there for you. The statutes are there for you. The limits are there for you. No one ought to have to tell you what to wear or what not to wear or what to do and what not to do, because it's all in the book. It's in the book. Let the book dictate. Let the book govern. Let the book give the commands. I know we're supposed to be preachers of the Word of God and share the gospel of Jesus Christ, but let the book conduct how holy and what we're supposed to do to live a holy life for God. Amen? Watch this. I want you to pay attention to the map here, because this is the map of the wilderness wanderings of Egypt here. Now watch this, because they could have gone. They could have made a straight shot east, and it would have been an easy path for them to make. They could have made a straight shot. Here they are. They crossed over to the Red Sea. They crossed right here to the Red Sea. And all they had to do, here's Canaan land. Canaan land is just inside. That's all they would have had to do right there was cross over there. But watch this. Here is the way God took them. Notice first of all, watch this. Here they are. They've got to go through Mara. Remember, Mara means bitterness. They've got to go through some bitterness in their life. And they've got to go through some difficulty. All of this land in here, through Elam and all through Mara, it's rocky ground. It's stony ground. And listen, they weren't wearing Nike tennis shoes. Some of them, a lot of them, were barefoot. And they've got to go through the bitterness. In other words, when you go through some stuff, it'll help you be prepared for Canaan. Paul said, these light afflictions that I have gone through, they are but light things compared to the glory that I'm going to receive up in heaven. You can't appreciate the glory of God unless you've gone through some bitterness, unless you've lost a loved one, or you're dealing with somebody right now that you love and you care about, unless you've gone through some kind of sickness or disease. You'll never appreciate Canaan until you have gone through some bitterness. Next place they go through, watch this, it's because they come down here and they go through Sinai. They go through the Mount Sinai. Sinai was where they received the law. How many of you understand? You will never appreciate heaven until you understand what it took to get you there. Because it took the law being given and the law being broken and a sacrifice being given for you to come in to the knowledge of Jesus Christ and have eternal life. That sacrifice was Christ Jesus. You had to understand Sinai. And then you've also got to understand, as sad as what it is, remember what happened in Kadesh. Remember what happened in Kadesh? Moses was told to speak to the rock, and he strikes the rock. And because of that striking, and because of the murmuring, and the complaining, and all of that kind of stuff, and because of the unfaithfulness of the spies, they wander in the wilderness. You will never appreciate Canaan until you have wandered in the wilderness. I'm a sojourner just passing through. I'm a traveler. And this is why we need direction from God. This is why we need direction. Not only do we need direction just to follow faithfully, but we need direction to follow fully after God Almighty with our whole heart. I believe that's what the psalmist said, wasn't it? He said, I will, in verse 34, give me understanding and I shall keep thy law and I shall observe it with my whole heart, with the entirety of who I am. Give me understanding. Now there's a big difference between understanding and knowledge. This is not just mere knowledge. Anybody can have knowledge. You can go to school, get an education, you can have all the knowledge you want to, but until you learn how to apply it, amen? There are people that I have met, I'll just use my own example of Holmes Bible College. And because Holmes Bible College sat or used to sit, bless God, they're finally moving the thing. But it used to sit right here, and on the one side was the Greenville Rescue Mission, and on the other side was the Salvation Army. So guess what we had traveling all through there? Bums and alcoholics and everything else. And because they had traveled through there for years, they could quote scripture better than most people in this building could. But they had it in their head and never bothered to put it in their heart. Can I tell you tonight, bless God for knowledge. Bless God to understand the Old Testament was written in Hebrew and the New Testament was written in Greek. And then there are translations following that we have, where we get our King James Bible from right now. Bless God for all of the wonderful understanding of the knowledge that we can have. But unless you understand it and apply it to your life, that's what I'm talking about. Get it off the pages. In fact, that's what Jesus said. I've come just so that I can take the law off the page and put it in their heart. Give them more than just knowledge. Every time God gives us an understanding, it is for our good and His glory. Number two, a soldier. That's the second portrait of a man. Of God is a soldier. Watch this. He says, make me to go in thy path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Here's the portrait of the soldier. I don't know about anybody else, but I went on a mess with him. Not on a good day. Here is the portrait of a soldier. But see, this is what we... Remember that old song we used to sing? I'm in the Lord's army. I'm in the Lord's army. I may not... What is it? March through the infantry. Ride in the cavalry. Shoot the artillery. But I'm in there. There was another chorus that we used to sing back at home. Says, God's got an army marching through the land. Deliverance is our song with healing in our hands, with everlasting joy and gladness in our hearts. And in this army, I've got a part. Can I tell you, that's what we are tonight. Whether you like it or not, I don't care if you're 2 or if you're 200. Whether you like it tonight or not, can I tell you, we're all in this army. And you don't retire from this army or this military experience of serving the Lord until you get to heaven. Amen. You don't retire from that. It's a fight all the way through. Watch this. Make me to go in the path, in thy path of thy commandments, for therein I do. The reason why I underline make me to go is because how many of you understand that there are two natures that you're dealing with, and the flesh nature doesn't want to go in the commands of God, but the spirit man wants to follow after the commands of God. Let me give you an example. Which would I have to make you eat? Ice cream or spinach? I'd have to make you eat, because it's not that hard to eat the ice cream. I love ice cream, but I tell you what, I can't stand spinach. What? This isn't a bad combination either. The ice cream and the cookies. But if I had a choice between the cookies and the vegetables, which would I have to make you eat? The vegetables. Or at least most people anyway. Most people in their right thinking mind anyway. That you'd have to make them eat the vegetables. Why? Because there's a nature that that we want to do the things that we want to do. We enjoy the things that we want to do. Watch this. We're a soldier. We ought to understand there again that there are two natures. One nature is that there is an old man. He does what I want to do. Oh, come on, somebody. The old man does what I want to do. You don't believe me? You try living this life. And some of you remember what it was like before you got sanctified. It's living a life and doing what I want to do. Well, I think I'll skip out on Sunday and do what I want to do. I'm not sick. I'm not bad off. I'm not momic, but I just skip out and do what I want to do. I haven't read my Bible in a while, and it's all right. I'm kind of busy with other things. I think I'll do what I want to do. The old man does what I want to do. Paul had this problem. We'll find out in just a minute. But the new man does what Christ wants us to do. In other words, it says I may be bad off, but as long as I'm not going to give it to anybody, I'll still be in the house of God. I'll do what Christ wants me to do. I may not feel like reading my Bible, or I may fall asleep to reading my Bible or praying, but bless God, I'll still try to pray and seek God's face, because I know that's what God wants me to do. We're a soldier. It's a fight. It's not supposed to be easy. Watch this. The plight of Paul. Here's Paul. Here's Paul. And the difficulty is that Paul says, in my flesh, those things that I hate, I find myself doing those things. But the things that are of God, I find myself not doing those things. I really desire to do those inward things that are of God, but I find myself not doing them. Here's the problem. It's kind of like a pendulum. And this is the thing, that it swings back and forth, back and forth. Well, am I going to do this wrong today, or am I going to do that right today? It's a back and forth kind of relationship. Some of you remember what it used to be like to live under a back and forth kind of relationship, where you saved one minute and you lost the next minute, and you're going to do right this minute and you're going to do wrong the next minute. Can I tell you, there's an answer to this problem, to get underneath the blood and get sanctified. There's an answer to this thing, that you don't have to bounce between right and wrong, but bless God, you can be sanctified for God's glory. Watch this. I thought this was amazing. Here is the prodigal son, and on his journey out, as he leaves the father, the thing that he says to the father is, give me the portion of my inheritance. Now, with all of his inheritance, all of his whining and dining and all of his fancy living and everything that he's done, with all of his inheritance, look where it got him. In the pigsty. Ain't got but one shoe on, all messed up,
looked worse than the hobo that I had up there just a little while ago. I mean, all of his whining and dining and everything that he did on his own, he said, give me the portion of my inheritance. Give me the things that I want. Give me the stuff that I want. And look where the stuff got him. But watch this. If you'll skip down in verse 19, it says, you know what? I'm going to go back to my father and I'm going to ask him to make me a hired servant. Can I tell you tonight, after he came back to the Father and he cried out to the Father, make me that hired servant. He didn't even have time to cry out to the Father, because by the time the old man saw his son, he began to wrap his arm around the son and said, son, come on in. My son that was dead, he's now alive. But he was willing to be made a servant. In fact, one of Paul's favorite phrases is, I, Paul, a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet here's the Father, and he embraces him and holds him in his arms. Can I tell you tonight, that's the difference. That's the difference between the two natures right there. It's the fact that one's saying, give me things, but the other one's saying, Lord, if you'll just make me a servant. Watch this. That's the next thing we're talking about. He says a servant. That's about the best picture I could find for a servant. Jesus knelt down, girded himself with a towel, and washed the disciples' feet. He humbled himself to become a servant. He made himself a servant for his people. In fact, Philippians says it this way, that he humbled himself in obedience, even the death on the cross, even obedient to the death on the cross. Can I tell you tonight that he's a servant? He said, I didn't come to serve, or I didn't come to have people wait on me and serve me. I came to serve tonight. Hallelujah. That he's the greatest example of a servant that we could ever have. Watch this. Now, first of all, let me clarify something, because a lot of us will think, okay, a servant, I'm supposed to serve you. That's right. That's what I am, right? I'm a servant. I'm supposed to serve you. Before you can ever serve people, you've got to first become a servant to God. Because the too many times it's me doing for you and I haven't done for God. You follow what I'm saying? Too many times we will find ourselves being a servant and running around with chicken, like a chicken with our heads cut off. And too many times we'll find ourselves serving people and waiting on people and doing this, bending over backwards just to kind of help somebody in. But can I tell you, the first thing that you need to understand is to be a servant unto the Lord Jesus Christ, to be His servant. You serve God and you serve Christ. Number one, we need to be a discerning servant. The psalmist said there in the text in 37 and 38, turn my eyes away from vanity. If there were ever a time in this day and age that we need to live in, we need to live like a horse would have blinders over his eyes. And we need to keep the blinders on so that we don't see the vanity and everything that looks pretty and everything that looks good out there. But we need to keep our eyes focused. No wonder he said, lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. No wonder he said, the songwriter said, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the what? The things of this world will grow strangely dim. If, I don't know, sometimes I think we might be better off if we're blind. Amen. Sometimes I wonder, in this day and age we live in, I wonder if we'd be better off blind. That way at least, I don't know if I were the blind man in Jesus' day, knowing what I know now, I don't know that I'd ask for my sight to be restored. I'd have said, Lord, give me a walking stick or a dog and I'll follow you. I ain't gonna see what's in this world. Can I tell you, that's sometimes the way I feel. It'd be better off if we had the blinders on, or if we could just follow after God with our own whole heart. Amen. We gotta have Christ's help, because we're not blind. Most of us aren't anyway. Because we're not blind, we need Christ's help. Then we need to be a devoted servant. There again, we're not just in it one day and out of it the next. Watch this. A servant must stand in awe of his master. A servant must stand in awe of his master. You know the thing that's missing in a lot of churches today? And it's missing sometimes, a lot of times, in services that we have. You know when revival really breaks out? Is when we stand in awe of who God is. If we set aside from ourselves everything on our agenda and simply stand in awe of who God is tonight, that's what we need to do, is to stand in awe of Him. Do not forsake or forget His Word, but to fear Him and His Word, to follow after Him. Number four, a saint. Now listen, just because you hold a Bible doesn't make you a saint. Amen? But that's the only thing I could come up with, is a saint. Somebody who's loving His Word. Somebody who follows after His Word with their whole heart. Watch this. Peter said it this way. Be ye holy, for I am holy. I, the Lord your God, am holy. God demands holiness out of our lives, and we're to be like Him. Watch this. What the psalmist said. Thy judgments are good, God. If your judgments are good, make me like your judgments. Make me like you, Lord. That's what we're supposed to be. I know that Grandma and Grandpa were wonderful Christians, and they followed of the Lord the best they could. But can I tell you, my striving is not to be like Grandma and Grandpa. My striving is to be like Jesus. It's to be like Jesus. Make me like Him. And then he says, the psalmist said, quicken me in thy righteousness. In other words, make me godly. If I mess up, clean me up. Make me godly. Quicken me. The word quicken there means to make me alive. Amen. Watch this. And I'm almost through. I have longed for thy precepts. We sing that song, and Mike, I may get you to play it in just a minute. As the deer pants after the water brooks, so my soul longeth after thee. What is the psalmist talking about in all of this text tonight, where he's talking about a portrait, the portraits of a man of God? He's talking about longing after God and His Word, to where this is the centerpiece of your life. Amen? This has got to be the centerpiece of your life tonight. Because if this is not the centerpiece of your life, you will go astray. Amen, preacher. The portraits of a man of God. I'm a traveler. I'm a sojourner. I'm a soldier. I'm a servant. And yes, I'm a saint. I don't have to wait till I die and somebody puts me up. I'm a saint right now. Right this minute. Paul, when he wrote to the Ephesians, he said, I'm writing unto the saints which are at Ephesus. Now understand something. I didn't make myself a saint. But Christ made me a saint. I'm not perfect. Please don't misunderstand what I'm trying to say. A saint is not perfect. A saint is simply a Christian that's been sanctified by God. And I walk in His ways, and I walk in His goodness, and I walk in His righteousness, but I don't have to wait till I die and I'm 100 years old or so, and somebody says, well, he was just a dear old saint of God. I don't have to wait till then. I'm a saint right now because I've been made holy by Jesus Christ, and you have too. Amen. Let's stand together tonight.